Welcome to the Baby Weight Podcast, brought to you by Omaha Better Birth Project. Omaha Better Birth Project is a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to decrease inequities in childbirth by providing access to doula services, childbirth education, and prenatal and postpartum support for low-income and teen families. Find out more about Omaha Better Birth Project online at www.omahabetterbirth.org. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. We are thrilled to have Dr. Betty DeLass join us in this week's episode of the Baby Weight Podcast. She is going to speak to us all about pelvic floor health. Betty grew up in Wisconsin and graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison with a Bachelor's of Science in Kinesiology, Exercise, and Movement Science in 2008. She then continued to the University of Wisconsin-Madison and received her Doctorate of Physical Therapy degree in 2012. Betty also worked at Northwestern Medicine in Illinois, St. Luke's Hospital in Idaho, and Peak Performance Physical Therapy in Michigan. Betty is an orthopedic and women's health pelvic floor physical therapist. She has a passion to deliver individualized care to all women, especially during pregnancy, postpartum, and beyond, to help them heal from the inside out so they can become the best versions of themselves for their family and their community. In her spare time, Betty enjoys doing marathons, triathlons, and hanging out with her husband, two daughters, and two dogs.
Hi, Betty. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the podcast. Today, I would love to chat with you about pelvic floor therapy. This is kind of something that is much needed, but little talked about. Can you explain to me kind of what pelvic floor therapy is and who can benefit from it?
Absolutely. First off, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here. And so pelvic floor therapy really is for anyone who owns a pelvis, because everyone has a pelvic floor, and sometimes that can be a misconception. People think, oh, only, you know, women have pelvic floors and they give birth and things like that, but really any human being has a pelvic floor, and so there's different areas of niches that we all serve. So some of us do it all. Some of us just serve males, and some of us just serve females. Some of us do transgender and gender reassignment and oncology and pediatrics. So there's a lot of, it's even more niche than you think it can be within the like pelvic floor therapy world. And so I just want to let everyone know that there's pelvic floor rehab for many, many different types of things. Me specifically, I specialize in owners of a vagina. So anyone during the like preconception, pregnancy, and postpartum time, especially during that time frame of lifespan. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Really quick, can you just tell us, how did you decide to go into this field and become a pelvic floor therapist?
That's a great question. I'll try and make it as short as possible, but I've always been like super fascinated by the whole birthing process in general, of like growing a human being and giving birth and like all the changes that happen with that. So it's always been something I've been interested in. But throughout my career, there's always been like little roadblocks in the way of like, oh, we already have someone doing this, or oh, we have this happening. So I kind of had to wait a little bit into my career, which in hindsight had given me a very strong orthopedic background as a physical therapist. So I had that huge base going in when I decided to do, and I had the opportunity to do pelvic floor rehab. And so after having my own first child and really going through all of those changes, because I've been a pretty high-level athlete, and then pregnancy, and then recovery postpartum, and then another pregnancy, and then recovery again, it's kind of a major life event. And so going through it myself and really seeing how underserved women are during this lifespan change really fueled my fire, if you would say. So I'm just super, super passionate about it, because I think, especially in America, we just do a huge disservice to pregnant people and really what they need. Because if you think about it from any other rehab standpoint, if you were to have knee surgery or shoulder surgery, you would do what's called prehab, and so you'd go to rehab before you actually have surgery to, you know, learn things and about your body, get the learning curve out of the way, get educated about things, really structure yourself so that you're going into the surgery as best prepared. And not that birth always ends in a surgery, but it's a major musculoskeletal event and change, like whether you have a vaginal delivery or a C-section. And so if we shift that mindset a little bit and just think, okay, well, maybe I should prepare for that athletic event, so to speak, or that musculoskeletal event that's going to happen, and really, really focus on, okay, let's do the upfront work, because we know with research on other areas of the body that people who do prehab before they have the event happen and then do rehab, they have better outcomes than people who don't do it ahead of time. And so why wouldn't we apply that to growing a human being? Just makes sense, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you recommend pelvic floor prehab and rehab for anybody who's giving birth?
100%. I'm very much in that camp. So that's kind of how I specialize and market myself. As I say, I do preconception, pregnancy, and postpartum, and really focus in on that area. And another analogy I like to use is just the same as like childhood intervention, right? Like we know the sooner we intervene, the better the outcomes are and the faster things are to turn around, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing from a musculoskeletal and neuromuscular standpoint from our lens of like, okay, if you have really tight hips or your pelvic floor is really tight or you don't know how to activate your glutes or your core or your breathing mechanics are off, we can help set up the system to be optimized so that going into pregnancy, maybe you don't have as many aches and pains and maybe it ends in, you know, decreased cesarean rates because your body was primed and ready for, you know, the ability to get into positions or do different things with your body. And so many times people are honestly just kind of clueless of where their body is in space and what's tight and what's not tight. And we can do so much to help optimize the system, so to speak, so that people are actually really prepped for giving birth and then recovery postpartum.
That's great. That's awesome. So if somebody's interested in pelvic floor therapy, do you recommend, obviously, going, you said preconception would be the best place to start then?
Yeah, absolutely. So best case scenario, ideal would be preconception before you're ready to have kids. There's some women too that, you know, if you have trouble inserting a tampon or getting a menstrual cup in and you can't do it, that's an appropriate time to do pelvic floor rehab as well, because you need to be able to do those things without excruciating pain, and we can help with all of that stuff. And then just on the other side of that, I always say it's never too early and it's never too late. So the oldest woman that I've helped was 92. So if she can stop peeing her pants in 8 visits, it's like anyone can stop. And so even if you're like, oh, I should have done this ahead of time, it's never too late. It really is never too late. There's so much we can do. And a lot of times people just don't know it even exists. Which is why I love just talking about it, because I want people to just know, like, this is a thing. We help with all of these things down there, and we can totally, like, change people's lives for the better ahead of time if we can and whenever throughout the lifespan. So, and different things creep up different times of the lifespan, too. So, if you know, you have your pelvis your entire life. So you can have issues when you're a kid. You can have issues when you're an adult, during pregnancy, childbirth, postpartum. Menopause is another issue, you're carrying that pelvis throughout your whole lifespan, so there might be times throughout where you need a little bit more help, and then you're on your own again, and then you're like, oh, something else is out of whack, and let's get a little tune-up. So it can just depend.
What are some symptoms that a person might encounter if they have a pelvic floor dysfunction?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are many, many different things. So you can have abdominal pain, low back pain, hip pain, SI joint pain, pressure in the pelvis or feeling like falling out. You could have leaking, whether that's urinary incontinence or fecal incontinence, constipation, diarrhea, diastasis recti, prolapse are other common diagnoses that get thrown around in our world. And then tailbone pain. Sometimes people don't realize like tailbone pain is a pelvic floor issue. And, so there's many, many different things of symptoms that people can have. And if you're in doubt, you just ask, right? Like we're most likely will be like, yep, we can probably help you with that.
Right. So it sounds like pelvic floor dysfunction, or I don't know if I want to use the word dysfunction, but pelvic floor issues are pretty common among people with uteruses and vaginas. So is this inevitable for us during our lifespan to have some sort of pelvic floor damage?
That's a great question. I don't like the term inevitable, but I would say I have yet to meet a person who doesn't have some dysfunction somewhere in their body, right? Like, we're living human beings and moving and doing things. And how, you know, have you gone through life without spraining your ankle or hurting your shoulder or your low back? It's like somehow it's bound to happen if something's not working well. And so it's kind of like in that spectrum of health, if you look at it like that, if you could always be better in health, right? You could always do more, be better. And so it's a spectrum of like how much dysfunction, if you will, and how much function do you have. And so I like to kind of classify that more as like how optimal is your body performing in its like musculoskeletal, neuromuscular system, and how suboptimal is it, and where in that continuum are you, and where are you having symptoms versus not having symptoms. And if you, you know, have a really stressful thing happen, or you, you know, slip down the stairs, are you flared and like thrown out of whack, or are you like resilient through that? And so really it's just kind of looking at that spectrum of things of like, it's very, very common, but it's not optimal. And how do we optimize your system so that you're resilient through the things that you're doing in life?
Oh, that's a great explanation. That's great. So are there some things that maybe people can do just at home to strengthen their pelvic floor in hopes to avoid complications in the future?
Totally. There's tons of things that you can do prevention and health and wellness wise, for sure. Now I'm gonna probably change your question a little bit, if you don't mind. I kind of have a thing not against Kegels for strengthening, but really a lot of times people think, okay, we need to strengthen the pelvic floor and that's going to solve all of our issues. But honestly, like, the pelvic floor is so complex and it works in a system of the rest of your body. So you can't just isolate out the pelvic floor without talking about breathing and talking about the low back and the hip flexors and the adductors and the glutes and, you know, your foot and your neck, and you're all connected from head to toe. And so we have to really look outside the pelvis and inside the pelvis to really figure out, okay, what are the things that we can do? So I don't like to be like, oh, let's just blanket it and say strengthen the pelvic floor, because often that's just not a good way to, like, I didn't go, like, if I could say this without sounding really awful, I didn't go get my doctorate in physical therapy to prescribe Kegels, right? Like, if that was it, like I, you know, like, that would be a waste of money in my book. But yeah. So that's what I really want people to just take away, is it's not all about Kegels. And Kegels usually get the headlines and like, oh, just do some Kegels, or oh, you're leaking, do some Kegels. But oftentimes people are actually over tight in their pelvic floor, and they actually need to work on relaxation, or there's something outside the pelvis that's causing that tightening in the pelvic floor. So we have to really put on our thinking caps to figure out what's the underlying why. So I always encourage people to start exploring their body of like, how are you breathing? How is your posture? Can you activate certain muscles? Do you know how to activate your core? Can you relax your pelvic floor? Do you know how to do a Kegel? Like, and just bringing awareness into your body is probably the best first step of like, because I really, really truly believe like, you have to be the own expert of your own body, especially in the medical system that we have, and getting bounced around everywhere. Is you just have to be, as much as we can, we want you to be as in tune with your body and the expert of your body, so that you can then kind of help your practitioners. Like, they're skilled in what they know, but if you don't tell them what you're feeling or where it's at or anything like that, it can be a little bit harder to get to the results that you need as efficiently, if you will.
Yeah, I was actually shocked to relatively recently learn that your jaw is actually connected by, what is it, fascia or something, all the way down.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So
I was shocked.
Yeah, I'll elaborate on that a little bit. So it's called the deep frontal fascia line. So anyone who's listening can go Google that, and you'll see a nice band of fascia that literally runs from the side of your head through your jaw, through your neck, through your ribcage diaphragm, into your low back and hip flexors, into your pelvic floor, into your adductors, your inner thigh, to your calf, to your feet. So oftentimes when people are in, like, the birth world, they're like, relax your jaw, it'll help you open your pelvis. It's really actually true. There's science behind that. And then we also see, too, in the pelvic rehab world, a lot of TMJ, neck issues, pelvic floor issues, feet issues. They kind of go all hand in hand. Not that it's always or ever, but there's usually some common themes around that. And so we need to work up and down that chain to really have an effect on the pelvic floor.
Wow.
So it's a lot more than just, like you said.
It's more than Kegels.
Yeah.
Yep.
Holy cow. So I know a lot of our listeners will probably wonder, is this covered by insurance? Is this something that they can get a referral from their either OB or primary care to do this?
Yes, absolutely. So pelvic floor rehab or whatever is physical therapy, so it should be covered under any insurance that has physical therapy benefits, whether it's in-network or out-of-network benefits. It depends on your plan. And then it also depends on the state you live in, if there's direct access. So different states have a form of direct access for physical therapy, meaning do I need a referral to go to a PT for pelvic rehab? And so I'm probably getting into some nitty-gritty details here, but I think it's important for people to know. So I believe Nebraska is complete direct access, so you don't need a referral to go see a pelvic floor PT. However, if you're using your insurance and it's a network, your insurance company might require a referral. So you can simply ask your physician, your PCP, your OB, whoever that is kind of running your care for a referral. And oftentimes there's not really an issue with people just being like, oh yeah, here you go, and they'll give it to you. Some physicians just don't know what we do. I mean, I've worked with OBs that are like, what do you do for a C-section? What exercises do you give? And I'm like, wait, what? Like, we can do a lot of manual skills to loosen up that C-section scar and get the mobility back in there. And she didn't even know as an OB of like, oh, you could do that? Like, so yeah. The OB world doesn't know what we do, and we don't know what the OB world does from a big picture standpoint. And so really just advocating for yourself of like, no, I want this, because a lot of times OBs as well or PCPs will be like, you don't need that until after, like, just see how your 6 weeks goes, and then, you know, if you're still leaking or something's bothering you, then we can send you. But that's later than what we want. We want you ahead during pregnancy. We want to see you 2 to 4 weeks postpartum so we can work on breath work and work on gentle mobility and core strengthening. But going back to that analogy of like, if you had knee surgery, you would go to rehab like within the first week to start working on making your quad function. And same thing from a birthing standpoint, like if we wait 6 weeks and then we're like, oh, you're good, you're clear, you can start running again. It's like, wait, we don't do that with any other part of the body. We do like structured rehab to build up to that. And then you then can go running and stuff like that. So we want it sooner. And so really just advocating for yourself of, hey, if you need a referral, talk to the person who's going to give you the referral. If they're resistant to it, I would suggest that you're probably not with the right provider or you need to use a different provider that's listening to you and your needs. And then from an insurance standpoint, there's both in-network and out-of-network. So just knowing your benefits for your insurance company, there's quite a few of us who are out-of-network. And basically what that means, it still means we take your insurance. So for me, for example, I'm considered an out-of-network provider. And so when someone asks me if I take insurance, I say yes, as an out-of-network physical therapist under your out-of-network benefits for physical therapy. And so we just take payment at time of service and then give you the receipt to then submit to your insurance company to get reimbursement from them versus us submitting to the insurance company, waiting 6 months to a year to get reimbursement back, and then carry on our merry way. So we're just kind of taking insurance out of the middle and doing that direct payment, and then you get it from your insurance company. So we're kind of reversing the roles. And you can also use HSA and FSH for out-of-network as well. So it just kind of depends. Where are you at? What are your needs? Is it better to go in-network or out-of-network? Who do you want to go see, and where are they at, and making the best decision that's for you?
Yeah, one other question I'm going to throw at you. This is going to come out of left field because it was not on our pre-approved question list. a lot of people, we hear this question a lot. What can they expect at their first visit?
Oh, that's a great question. Lots and lots of things. So we'll obviously ask you detailed health history, all the things TMI, will ask questions about pooping, peeing, and sex and all that stuff like that, like even down to nitty-gritty stuff of how many times a day do you go, and what we'll show you a stool chart and say, what does your poop look like? Because we want to collect as much information as we can, and we typically say there's no such thing as too much information because we're literally asking all the questions that you've probably never told anyone. And then after that, we'll go into an external exam. So we're going to do a full body movement analysis of you, of like how do you move through your spine, what does your balance look like, your squat, is there any other activities like running, jumping, sit to stand, or any other functional tasks like that that you are either coming in complaining about or that we want to see and look at. And then specifically we'll dive into a little bit more in the spine to see how you're moving, especially the thoracic spine and the rib cage, because the diaphragm there is very intimately connected with the pelvic floor, and so we want to make sure those are all working good. And then we'll assess your abdomen and your breathing, and then we'll move on down to hips and pelvis, SI, pubic bone, test muscles and range of motion and mobility of all those things, and then even into the feet or head, depending on what else we need to assess. Oftentimes we don't get to everything in the first visit because we want to do a pretty comprehensive eval and then give you some treatment, and then it might be a session or two where we kind of, you know, maybe the next time we'll look at your feet a little bit more, or your head a little bit more, and then we'll do an internal pelvic exam. So the internal pelvic exam is similar to an OB or a midwife. However, we're looking at it through the lens of rehab. So we're looking at range of motion, strength, coordination, trigger points, restrictions, prolapse, like what, how are things moving, and endurance of that, and all that different stuff. What happens when you cough versus what happens when you bear down or do a Kegel? So we're looking at many different things and kind of piecing those external exam findings and those internal exam findings together to really figure out what's the underlying why of your symptoms, to then say, okay, we need to address these things, so then that will help you stop leaking. Or we need to address these things, and that will help you stop having symptoms of prolapse. Or this is really tight here, and this is really tight here, and you have some trigger points here, and we need to work on these things so you don't have pain with sex anymore. So we have to take that bigger picture. That's why we go back to that. It's not all about Kegels, right? We're doing all this stuff to figure out what's really, really going on and what's driving the symptoms you're coming in for. Because typically it's not just one thing, and it's a combination of things that are playing into that. I can literally have two people with the same, like, subjective history of, like, I pee my pants when I cough, sneeze, run, lift, jump, all the things, and I have pain with sex, and, like, that's literally what two people are saying. I examine both of them, and they have two different, very different reasons of why those things are happening. And so it's very, very individual of, like, what's going on.
Yeah, that sounds like it. Just to kind of wrap up a little bit here, I just wanted to give you a chance, like, how can people find you? Where are you located? How can they get in touch with you? Do you have any programs or anything for them to get more?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So currently right now, I used to be in Omaha, Nebraska, which is how I know you guys. We have recently moved to Salt Lake City, Utah. So that is where I'm currently at practicing. I own my own company. It's called Reborn Pelvic Health and Wellness. And so that's where I'm at physically. My website is www.rebornphw.com. And then I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and actually I just got on TikTok. I haven't posted anything yet, but it's in the works. As Dr. Betty DeLass, DPT, so that's DrBetty DeLass, DPT. So you can find me there. And then as far as, like, programs and stuff like that, I'm actually going to be rolling a bunch of that stuff out now. So I obviously do in-clinic care and in-person care, but then I'm going to have a couple free things online for people as, like, resources and ways to find, like, okay, do I need pelvic floor therapy? How do I find a pelvic floor therapist? So I have a couple just, like, handouts that will be up on my website relatively soon, within like the next couple weeks. And then I have what's called the 5-day Reborn Adore Your Pelvic Floor. And so it's a 5-day video series of me kind of walking through kind of even some of the stuff we talked about today of, like, what is pelvic floor therapy? What do we do? Why is it important? And has a couple extra things in there. And then I'm actually coming out with my first online course. So I'm so excited about that. It is called The Optimal Vagina Beyond Kegels.
That's awesome.
Everything I want my grandma, my mom, my sister, and my friends and my daughters to know about their pelvic health and wellness. So it's like 50 videos of me, like, talking pelvic floor all day, every day, and about different areas of the body and things like that, just so people can, you know, people often ask me, like, well, what can I do before I go see someone, or there's a wait list to get in to see someone. And this is meant to kind of serve that, to, like, bridge that gap a little bit and educate people and get them more in tune with their body to kind of just start start now and then get them ready so that when they do see someone in person, their time is that much more valuable and they can accomplish a lot more too. So that's coming.
That is amazing. That's incredible. Okay, yes, we'll have all that information. We'll put it all in the show notes for any of our listeners that want to check that out. So thank you. That's all we have today, but thank you so much, Betty, for joining us.
Yes.
Well, Emily,
thank you so much. I do want to do a little shout out if you're local to Omaha.
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're listening from Omaha, Nebraska, my pelvic PT soul sister, Dr. Kayla Ives, is the owner of the Pelvic Physio Omaha. And so both her and Hannah, who's currently also working there, Dr. Hannah, are fabulous clinicians. So if you're looking for someone local, I would highly, highly recommend checking out the Pelvic Physio Omaha.
Awesome. That is exactly what I was wondering. Thank you so much, Betty. I really appreciate that.
So welcome. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yes, we're really glad you could make it. And this is such important information. And we are happy, happy, happy to spread the word about this to all of our listeners. And we hope that this will inspire more owners of uteruses to get out there and see a physical therapist. So thank you again.
Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Baby Weight Podcast. You can find more information about Betty and Pelvic Floor Health in the show notes. As always, please consider making a donation to Omaha Better Birth Project to help us fulfill our mission. You can visit us online at www.omahabetterbirth.org. And don't forget to subscribe.